the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To understand this parable that we heard this morning, spoken by Jesus and recorded by the holy evangelist Luke, we need to understand the excuses that were made by these people who declined coming to the banquet. And we need to understand that they were actually really good excuses, because we might read these, and a lot of people do today in our modern world, and think that the problem is simply that these people made some excuses and they weren't that interested in the banquet. But that's not the case. If you actually look at what these people are doing, you will see they were important, legitimate excuses that a person normally had, that a Jew normally had. The first one we hear about how this man has just acquired a field. And when that's the case, you have to go out and you have to see to that field, you have to plant seed, you have to make sure that you take care of it. Remember, at this time they were living in an agrarian society and culture, and so if you don't take care of your field, not only are you not going to have anything to eat, not only are you not going to have a livelihood, but there are going to be tens, perhaps hundreds of people who suffer because they're not able to eat because you didn't take care of your field. So it was an important responsibility. In a similar way with the oxen have to be trained. If you buy oxen and you don't train them on what they're supposed to do, then they become wild and you cannot tame them and you cannot teach them to do what needs to be done for you to make a living. And again, not just yourself, but other people in society being dependent upon it. And even today, we can understand that someone is newlywed. You know, there's a good reason for them to be there with their spouse at the beginning of their marriage. But these three excuses that were offered were not only important, as I just pointed out, but they were so important that, in fact, in the Old Testament, they are three reasons that are given that an Israelite man might not be sent into war, might not be conscripted or drafted to go and fight a war if Israel was at war. So these are good excuses. So good are the excuses that, again, even if your country was at war and they called upon you, if you offered one of these excuses legitimately, not just making it up, of course, but it was a legitimate one of these reasons, they would say, okay, that's fine, because this is an important thing that you need to do. But anyone else, they get called away. There's no other good excuses. So we need to understand this context to understand exactly what's going on here when Jesus talks about these people being invited to the banquet. And what he's speaking about here is quite clear. He's speaking about himself coming and how God himself, and then through Jesus the Messiah, how God has invited the Jewish people to the great banquet, to the covenant community, to what we today call the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus is telling us is that many of these Jews offered good excuses not to join his movement. But ultimately what he's teaching us is that that might be a good excuse not to go to war to defend your country, but it's no excuse to not follow his teaching. So ultimately what Jesus is telling us in today's parable is there is no excuse not to follow his teaching and his message. Why was that such a problem for so many of the Jews, and why is it a problem for so many of us to authentically follow his message? Well, we know that one of the key aspects of being part of Christ's community is the admission and the recognition that your own righteousness is not sufficient. That your own righteousness must be cast off. We heard about it a few weeks ago, where, again, the weak translations, Paul, he talked about how what a great Jew he was, how he had followed all of these things in the law, and he counts it as dung. He casts it aside for the sake of Christ's righteousness, for following after Christ. That was the problem that so many of the Jews had. So many people like you and me, who would come, in their case, to the synagogue, in our case, to the church every week. We tried our best, they tried their best to live what we would consider to be moral lives. To try to do good. They were people like me, the clergy. The people who had been ordained to serve that community, to preach the Word of God. But they had such a difficult time accepting Jesus. Why? Because they had a good excuse in their mind. What is that good excuse? Their own righteousness. Their excuse was, I've done what is said to be done. I live a moral life. I'm a good person. I go to the synagogue every week. I go to church every week. But that's not good enough. We have to cast this aside for the sake of Christ and rely upon His righteousness. It's very difficult for people to do. You know, in the early church, I'm sure that many of you have heard about persecutions and the martyrdoms of some of the early saints. If you study church history, or if you come even to our divine liturgies, especially during the weeks, you hear about many of these saints. And during that time, there were others who were called confessors. That's the official category that we call them in the church. And a confessor is someone who was physically harmed. They weren't killed, but they were physically harmed because they maintained their Christian faith. They maintained their allegiance to Christ, even amidst this persecution. Many of them, the people tried to kill them, and for whatever reason, they didn't die. So again, they were called confessors. And I bring this up because there was a discussion, a debate in the early church when some of these severe persecutions broke out. What do you do with the Christians who fled when there was the persecution because of they didn't want to suffer? And so they left. They left town. They skipped out. They went away and they fled for safety. And when they came back, there were people in the church who said, no, you can't come to communion anymore. You fled. You forsook the faith. But you know who it was that stuck up for these people that left? It was the confessors. It was the people who had been physically harmed, who had physically suffered because of their faith, who said, no, this was a difficult thing to do. We understand that some people are weaker than others, and they cannot stand up as we did and as the martyrs did, but we still want to offer them grace. We still want to offer them forgiveness and mercy. Why did they do that? Because they were the ones who understood the message. They were the ones that understood it wasn't their own righteousness. If anyone had a reason to say we shouldn't accept the people who fled, it was the confessors. They were the ones who suffered the cost, paid the price for following the faith. But they were the ones who understood the message better than the rest of the Christians who hadn't suffered. And they said, you're welcome back at this table. We realize it was difficult. We rely upon Christ and upon His strength and upon His grace and not our own. And that's what's so difficult for us, brothers and sisters. We can make excuses, thinking that by our fasting and by our prayers and by our church attendance, deep down in our heart, we think we've earned just a sliver of that. But we have to give that up. We have to sell it. We have to despise it, as Paul did, and treat it as dung. That's why it was so difficult and why so many of the pious people of Jesus' time offered what they considered to be and what had, up until that time, were considered to be good excuses, but no longer so. And because the self-righteous are rejected, because most of the people who were faithful at that time, from the exterior, from what you might think looking externally, were rejected, Jesus extends His invitation because He wants a full banquet. So He extends it to the blind, to the lame, and to the maimed. Not just those who are physically blind and maimed, because they also would have been cast out of the synagogues, would not have been allowed into the temple because they were considered to be unclean. But to all those other Jews who were considered to be unclean, who were considered to have committed great sins and were not welcome in the community. And then Jesus goes a step further. There's still room, he says. So he goes out to the highways and the hedges. He goes out and he brings in the Gentiles to sit at his table. And so the message should be clear to us, brothers and sisters, that Jesus will have a full banquet in the heavenly kingdom, but it might not be who we expect. It might not include us if we rely on our own righteousness. If we rely upon our own deeds, upon what we consider to be our own goodness and our own worthiness. We have to cast all of this down at the feet of Christ and accept only His righteousness, which means then we also have to accept the outcast, accept the sinner. And what we find if we look around is that many of these people, these so-called sinners, people who we might consider to be schismatic in our church or heretics, who practice the message of the gospel better than us because they're not worried about their own righteousness. They're simply worried about doing what God has taught us to do. Some of them unwittingly, unknowingly, as we hear about in Matthew 25 that we read about on Judgment Sunday, where the people say, "When did we do this to you, Christ? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? We didn't even know we were doing your will." But nevertheless, they were. So the message for us today, brothers and sisters, is to recognize our own unworthiness, to recognize the fact that we must submit ourselves at the feet of Christ, relying upon His righteousness, that we must be like the confessors. And even if we are as pious and righteous as any of the great saints, we accept those who have not yet reached that level, recognizing that all of us can only attain to those heights by the mercy of God. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.